morning, our devotional background reading comes from Exodus chapter 11, and it's verses 1 through 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that setteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against a man or beast, but ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders from Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Are there any announcements before we go to class? Just remember, our new Sunday school books are here starting next week, so be sure and get your new Sunday school book. Let's go to Sunday school.
Of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side post and on the upper post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And that's Exodus 12, 1 through 14, with mistakes that I may have made. Now, God gave to his people in the land of Egypt notice of an event which was to come upon them. Something was going to happen. And through the mouth of Moses and Aaron, the Lord gave them instructions on how to deal with this. And these were simple instructions. They were easy to understand. Now, for us today, you know, if the Lord came and instructed us to kill an animal, to put up a sheep or a lamb and keep it up for a certain number of days and to observe it, you know, that might, and then to kill it and to do these things, that would be a little more difficult for us because we don't normally, most of us don't do that for our food anymore. We just go to the grocery store. But let's remember that this people, this wasn't anything at all out of the ordinary. This would have just been another manner which they would go get their food. They were, what I'm trying to say is they were an agricultural people who slaughtered their own animals for their meat. And so the reason I'm bringing that out is because I want you to understand that these instructions that the Lord gave unto them wasn't anything at all hard for them to understand. It wasn't anything that they're going to be going, well, how would I go about putting this lamb to death? How would I get this blood? It was something that was well understood by this people at this time. And the reason I want to bring that out is because I want it understood that, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, the plan of salvation is something that people can understand. It's not a mystery. It's not something that's hard to do. It's not something complicated that the Lord has instructed people to do. And I'll try to get back to that in a few minutes. But I say that because this first Passover that's being instituted here isn't a hard thing for them to understand. It's not something out of the ordinary. The Lord sent this out to this people, and before I go any further, I'll say what Bert said last week. You know, up until this point, there's been these plagues that has come upon the land of Egypt, and the entire, all the various plagues, the frogs and the lice and the hail and all the others that I won't mention right now, they occurred upon the land of Egypt. They didn't occur where the children of Israel were there. The children of Israel didn't have to do anything. They were just living there, and they weren't affected by these plagues. These plagues only affected the Egyptians. But the Lord has let them know here something's going to come about. And if they don't take action, the action that he tells them to take, they're going to be affected by this next plague. And so he's given them instructions. This plague is going to show these Egyptians in a great way that God has a separated people. God has a people that he watches over. And it's going to show them that they don't have a part in this, that there's something different about this people. And he's going to show all of them, both the Egyptians and the children of Israel, that he has a plan. Well, and I'm going to get into that hopefully in just a few minutes. But the Lord has a plan here for this people and for these Egyptians both. Now, he goes on to tell them that the firstborn is going to be slain, that the firstborn of all the household of the Egyptians, from the Pharaoh on down to the servants, is going to be slain that night. And not only that, but the firstborn of the beast is going to be slain. So there's going to be this great slaughter that's coming to be. But the Lord's given them warning. He's given them advance notice. And he's told his children what they have to do to keep that from happening. Now, he's also told them that if they don't obey these instructions, if they don't follow this, this plague is going to come upon them. Now remember, all the plagues up until this point have only affected the Egyptians. But at this point, this children of Israel has to make a decision. They have to believe and trust, and they have to do what they've been told to do. If not, this time around, they'll be included in it. So, now, As I'm sure you all know, that plague came to pass just exactly as the Lord had said it would. There was a great wailing. There was anguish. And you can, maybe you can't imagine. I really can't. I can't really fathom what that would be like if in the United States today, tonight, all of the firstborn were taken away. They were put to death. I can't imagine that. And that is exactly what happened here. And these Egyptians understood. They knew. The reason I say that, because it says in chapter 12, verse 33, if I can find that. It says, "And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men." They knew that this God, that this was what was going on. It wasn't a mystery to them. And they wanted these Egyptian people to get out of there. They wanted to just be separated. And the Pharaoh himself here tells them, go on, leave, take your children, take your flocks, take your animals, take everything, and just get out. Now, Pharaoh's heart's going to be hardened one other time, and we're probably not going to get into that today. But at this point, they've all seen the power of the Lord. They've all seen what God can do. And these Egyptians, they don't want anything to do with God's people there. They're scared, and with good reason. They should be scared. Now, I want to stop for just a second, and I want to talk about the saved people of the world today. The Bible teaches us, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light." He's talking about those of us that have been saved. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's us today. We have been separated from the world when the Lord saved our soul. We are a different people. I remember that time when God saved my soul, that for the next few days I could tell there was something different about me. And I couldn't understand it. I don't understand it today. But the Lord set me apart. And I believe with all my heart that everyone that is saved is set apart, because the Bible tells us that they are. But we today need to be seen by the world as being separate. Just as this people, these Egyptians, they saw. Now they had physical evidence before their eyes. They had that. But the world today needs to see something about us that's different. They need to understand there's something going on whenever we're around, in the things that we do, the things that we're involved in our day-to-day lives, that we're a different people, that we're separated, that they might not understand it. They might not know, but they should sense that there's a spirit about us. We need to take the Spirit of the Lord with us as we go out in our day-to-day dealings with other people. That those people might, when times of trouble come upon them, when questions arise in their minds, in their hearts, they'll think of us and what it is that's different, that they might reach out and seek, not to seek to us for any glory for us, but they might, when the Lord starts to deal with them, that he will make a way for us as his messengers, as his ambassadors, to speak to them, to say the right thing. And it might not be any great thing. It might just be, I've heard people talk about the Lord just impressing upon them to go out and put their hand on somebody's shoulder or just make a step towards somebody. We don't know, but what we need to be is a people prepared to serve the Lord, separated from this world. Now, I'm convinced that I could never be the person I was before God saved me, and I don't want to be. There isn't any turning back to me. The Lord changed me in a way that I don't understand, but I know it happened. I was there and I can remember it. He changed that people in that time also. Now, I don't believe that all of the children of Israel, when they came out of that land of Egypt, was saved people. I believe that the Bible talks somewhere in here about them being a mixed lot, and I think that's referencing that some of them were saved and some of them were not. And it's the same thing today. We're living as a people sometimes that is a mixed lot. That is, we're surrounded by people that aren't saved, and that runs a whole wide gamut of people. Some people that claim to be Christians, they claim to be saved, and we don't know. We have no way of knowing. And then there are people that are that won't even pretend. They just say flat out they're lost. They'll tell you that they're lost. And there's people that says there is no God. There's atheists around us. But God was able to take care of those things in this time that we're reading about, when he brought his children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And he can take care of those things today. Now, there were people at this point that hardened their hearts. The Pharaoh is probably the best example that we have. Faced with all these things that occurred, with the death of his own firstborn child, all the plagues and stuff that had come up before then, Pharaoh hardened his heart this one more time, and he refused to listen. He refused to humble himself before God, no matter what was put forth to him. There are people in that way, in that same condition that we're faced with today, that they will just absolutely not humble their heart. But we don't know. We don't know what their outcome is going to be. We don't know how they're going to react. That is why we have to depend upon the Lord. We have to turn to him to give us guidance as to who to speak with. The Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine. And I think that's what he's talking about. Not to think that we're going to go out and change anybody's heart. We're not going to go out and change their mind. Only the Spirit of the Lord is going to do that. And we need to be dependent upon the Lord to tell us who to speak with, what to say to them, and when to just pass on by and take that message to somebody that might hear, that might be willing to humble themselves before him. But it's important for us to remember that the same God that orchestrated these events that are described in the book of Exodus, that same God is in control today. And he's every bit as powerful, and he can accomplish this same task to separate his people out from the world, to separate us and set us to the side and watch over us and protect us. But at the same time, we ought to be an example. We ought to be, these children of Israel here, they could see a lot of physical examples. These Egyptians could look at the children of Israel and see a lot of physical examples of the difference of this people and what was going on with them. Well, there might not be a lot so much any more physical examples for us to between us and the world. Now, there should be some. We shouldn't be caught up in the things of the world that most of the world today might say is okay. We need to be, the Bible says, to abstain from even the very appearance of sin. Even if you think it might look sinful, we have been commanded to stay away from those things. But, it's not quite as dramatic a difference from a children of Israel being in service and being a servant to these Egyptians as it was. The contrast may not be as great physically, but it can be as great spiritually. We can have as much an impact today by being a separated and spiritual people if we'll trust God, if we'll turn to him, if we'll study our Bible, stay in prayer, keep the lost upon our hearts. We can have we can be spiritually separated, and people can see that. Here in the book of Exodus, God has instructed them that this lamb has to be killed, this blood has to be applied. That is, just acknowledging that there was something coming up, that there were going to need to be kept from this plague of death. Just acknowledging that and saying, yes, I believe that. That wasn't enough. They had to apply that blood to the doorpost, killing the lamb and saying, well, we've followed the instructions up to this point. They had to take that and follow the plan that God put forth to the end completely. And, you know, when we today, we talk to the lost people and we tell them, bow before the Lord, repent of your sins, turn it all over to Him, trust in Him, believe with all your heart. And those are good instructions. And that's what they have to do. And I remember as a lost person, you know, I thought I'd done all that. I acknowledge my sins. But the point is that I had to take it and follow it exactly as God said. And it wasn't until I got to the point where I acknowledged to Him that there wasn't anything at all worthwhile. It wasn't just 99% of me that needed to be saved. It was 100%. It was complete. There was nothing good at all about me. And that kind of stood in my way a little bit. And I didn't even understand what it was at the time. But that the plan of salvation has to be followed completely. There is no substitutions in any part of it, in any manner of it. And the plan at this time for this people, this Passover that was being instituted, had to be followed completely. It had to be done in the manner that the Lord told them, in order for them, the death angel, to not enter into their house. Now, it says that lamb that was roast was to be consumed in that night. They were to eat it, and it gives an instructions on how it was to be prepared. It also says that any leftovers, if they couldn't eat it all in that night, those leftovers were to be burned in fire, to be consumed up. There wasn't going to be any for later on. And as I studied that and I thought about it, you know, we have lost that we know of. We have family and friends, some maybe children or grandchildren. And I know that anyone that is saved, and you pray for those and you want to see them saved so much. And if you could, you'd like to give them a bit of salvation, if you could just reach out. But that's not the way it is. That's not the plan that God put forth. There is nothing. I got everything I need for the rest of my life, and that's going to take me to heaven, and I know that it will, but I don't have any extra. I don't have any to share, and that's what it's showing forth here. They had what they needed. It was all sealed up and taken care of, and it was a complete work here, but there wasn't any left over. They weren't going to take it out and say, hey, Lord gave me a little bit too much, let me share some of it with you. That's not the way it was ever meant to be. The plan for the lost is the same today as it was yesterday, last week, last year, and all the way back to before this time period. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. They think that there was a different plan of salvation at some point. No, those people were looking forward, even in that time, they were looking forward to a coming Savior that would shed His blood and be a sacrifice for them. Just as we look back into a point in time when the Lord came and He suffered on the cross and was put to death, willingly gave up His life and shed His blood. That is the same plan of salvation throughout all times. And the Bible teaches us that it was put in place before the beginning of time. What I'm trying to say is that the lost have to hear of that plan. They have to be brought under conviction. They have to humble themselves before the Lord and ask Him to save them. Not anything that I can do, not anything that you can do. But we need to take that out and to let them know that they might hear, that they might understand, and that they might feel that prick in their heart to turn to the Lord and to be seeking Him. And that gets back to how we're to live our lives, to be a separated people, that they might know when they begin to feel and they don't know what to do, who do they turn to? Well, they need to turn to the Lord, but how do they know to turn to the Lord? Because somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to spread that gospel and let them know. And it's not just the preacher. Yeah, preachers, they reach a great number of people inside the building, inside the church. And we ought to be trying to bring people in that people can hear the message. But you know, sometimes people won't come in. Sometimes, you know, you can ask them all day long and they're not gonna put forth the effort to come to church to hear that message. And I'll say that if they won't put forth that little bit of effort, they, you know, until they're willing to put forth some effort, they're not gonna be saved. But it may be that we have to say something to them to make them understand the condition of their soul, to help them along to where they are willing to put forth the effort. I'm almost done here today. I want to say a little bit more here, though, about, we are a separated people, and I try to talk a little bit about how we need to live our lives as a separated people. But in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 13, and verse 14 says, For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This earth isn't our permanent home. We don't need to be looking at it and thinking about it. You know, I have a problem with this sometimes, to be honest with you. I kind of tend to get settled in, and I want to, make things comfortable, and I want to have all my stuff gathered together close by at hand. And I guess I grow, the Bible says, woe to those that grow at ease in Zion. That is God's, His own people. When we grow at ease in the world, and that's something that I tend to want to do. I tend to want to make things easy and just be comfortable and have it all, right there at my disposal. And I kind of look at this sometimes as my home. I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's what God wants for His people, because it said we don't have a continuing city here upon this earth. We look for one to come. We've got something better waiting for us, and that's where we as God's people today need to be. I won't say that I am there, not all the time, not as much time as I ought to be, but I think that that's right. I think that's what the Bible's teaching me. And I say it's hard not to be distracted by the things that are around me. There's just things that appeal to me, that's cool things. I want those cool things, and I don't think there's anything wrong with those things in the right place. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about just fun things, cars, houses, computers, phones, all different things that are just neat. Those things have to be kept in their right place, because when I get caught up in those things, I'm not separated from the world any longer. I look just like another part of the world. And I don't think that I'm commanded to live my life in a manner where I don't have any of those things, that they might not be a distraction. I believe God wants me to have good things and to enjoy those things, but He wants me to put Him first. He wants those things not to matter so much that they come between me and Him. And He wants me to build my treasures up in heaven. And that's where our treasures need to be. I didn't look up any verses to quote, but I feel pretty confident that most of y'all here already know what the Bible has to say about earthly treasures and moth and rust, and I won't even try. But we know that that's the end result of the things that we pile up here upon earth. We know what's going to happen to those. I've got a note here, and we know spiritual works and rewards are where our thoughts need to be. And I believe that is where our thoughts need to be, upon spiritual works and upon spiritual rewards. I can't honestly stand here today and tell you that that's where the majority of my thoughts are. I do believe that that's where they should be, though. And I'll go on to say, when I fail in those things, I have an advocate. I have Jesus Christ. I can turn to Him. I can ask Him for forgiveness when I fail Him. That's what we as God's people need to do. We need to turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, not for the salvation of our soul. My soul and anyone that's been saved is sealed, and that part is a done deal. But I continuously need to turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me for the failures that I have on a day-to-day basis. And I know from experience that the Lord will forgive me for my sins, that He'll help me out, and He'll put me back on the right path. But I've got to turn to Him. I've got to use the instructions that's given to me. I have to follow in the way that He's commanded. I can't substitute anything. I can't do it any different than what God. I'm speaking of myself as a saved individual. We can't change God's plan for the way that we turn back to Him any more than we could change the plan of salvation or this people in this town could change it. But we still have an advocate that we can turn to, and we have someone that will listen to us. The Bible teaches us that he was tempted in all points, and yet he sinned not. He was able to overcome it. But when I fail him, I can turn to him, and he knows. He looks down and he remembers. He knows what it was like to be tempted in that point. He was successful in overcoming that, but he knows how great it may be of a temptation for us. And he'll forgive us if we'll ask him to with a humble heart and a contrite spirit. That's everything that I've got. I hope my message wasn't too scattered, and I hope y'all got something out of it. Again, I want to say thank you to all our visitors here. It's good to see y'all. And I wonder, would anybody have any thought upon your heart before we dismiss? If everybody's heart's at ease, let's keep the prayer request that was made earlier today on our hearts, and let's remember the ones to stand before us and preach today. The Lord might be with him and give him guidance also. And if all hearts and minds are at ease, I'll ask Brother Jimmy if he would to dismiss us until 11 o'clock. Thank you.